Friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned before the service began, this is the second to the last Sunday in the church year. The cycle of the church year brings us around to its end and teaches us then about the end of the age, which the scripture and the gospel also teaches us is going to come. The theme in the gospel reading for today and in the epistle reading that we read from the Apostle Paul is the parousia of Jesus. Parousia is a Greek word that we translate as coming. So Jesus says in our gospel reading, "For just as lightning comes out of the east and shines to the west, so will be the parousia, the coming of the Son of Man." And Paul says from 1 Thessalonians 4, "For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming, the parousia of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep." Now, another way we talk about this then is in terms of Christ's return. He has ascended to the right hand of the Father. He has promised to return visibly. We also think of this as his second coming. It is the return of at the end of this world as we know it. We also confess this in the Creed. "And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end." I wonder if we realize, and it's interesting for me to realize, that the parousia, the teaching of the parousia, is a central part of the gospel. It's not kind of tangential, just something we stick on the end. It's actually a central part of the gospel. It is a central part of our Christian faith. We see it being taught by Jesus. We see it being taught by the Apostle Paul. And if we were to do a word study on this word parousia, we would find also that it's taught by the Apostle John and the Apostle Peter. And Mark and Luke teach about this, though they don't necessarily use this word, but they certainly teach that Jesus promises to return. And even in the Gospel of John, in John's own way, he teaches this where Jesus says, "As the good shepherd, I know my sheep and am known by them, and I will raise them up on the last day." Yes, Christ's second coming is part of the Creed. So it is something we confess as an essential faith, essential element of our faith every Sunday. But we might ask, and here's, I think, what I'm going to do. I'm just going to ask a series of questions about this. Why is this? Why is it such a central part of our Christian faith? Well, I think the answer is because it's an essential part of our being redeemed, an essential part of our redemption. Think about what kind of creatures we are. We say that we have a soul, a spiritual component to us. But we also know we have a body. This is a wonderful thing about us human beings. We are a unique creature in God's creative handiwork. We are unique because we have this spiritual element that is meant to have fellowship and communion with God, but we also have bodies, a physical component. And we are so integrated this way that we are a complete human being as both. Now, when Jesus came, did he come to just redeem the one part of us, the spiritual part of us, our souls? Well, I think if he had done that, he would not have risen again. But he rose again in his body. And he rose again as the first fruits of a new creation. So he rose again to redeem not only our spirits, but our bodies. What do we think about that? I really wish sometimes, actually I really don't, but sometimes I say rhetorically, I wish I could read the minds of people out there to think what they're thinking about this. But no, I really don't wish I could read your minds. But you know, if we could have an open dialogue about this and you were felt like you were comfortable in expressing your concerns and your whatever, and maybe you don't have any about this, I'd really love to know what those are. But at least for the sermon in this setting, I think the first point about all this is to realize the second coming of Christ, the parousia, is an essential part of the Christian faith because it is an essential part of our redemption. Here's what Paul says about it in Romans chapter 8. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. You. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we await our adoption as the children of God, the redemption of our bodies. And then he says, in this hope we were saved. You hear that? We have grown inwardly, eagerly awaiting the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. What do we want? I mean, what do we really want deep down in our souls as we face the reality of our existence? I mean, we can want a lot of things, but what is the ultimate? Well, we want to be whole and complete human beings, don't we? Both soul and body. We want to be whole and complete without the corruption of sin and without the reality of death. And Christ came to accomplish this for us. This is our redemption. He took care of the sin the first time by being himself the sacrifice of the atonement for our sins. And so now the gospel proclaims in our hearing and gives to us in the sacraments this good news. Your sins are forgiven before God forever. But he also rose on the third day, the first fruits of the new creation. And this part redeems our bodies. And all of creation in the reality of resurrection. We hear the forgiveness of sins now, and this reality is complete. And you know it as fully real as you hear it in the gospel and take it to heart. Yeah, my sins are forgiven before God. Praise God and thanksgiving. But the other part of our redemption, though the promise is given to us, and in the promise, as far as God is concerned, is fully complete, in the working out of our existence, it is not yet complete. It is something we are awaiting but it is also an essential part of our redemption. Christ promises to us, I will come back, and my sheep will hear my voice, and I will raise them up on the last day, and I will give them the new creation of their bodies and a new creation of some kind that is going to be beautiful and wonderful, and they will live with me in that new creation as complete and full human beings forever. And I will fulfill the longings of their hearts. That is, he will fulfill the longings of your heart for that. And somehow or another, he will set all things right. One of the challenges to this, I think, that we hear coming from people who don't have this hope is this pie in the sky? And maybe sometimes we wonder ourselves, is this just pie in the sky? Is this just a false hope? And sometimes as we are waiting for it, and sometimes the things that happen to us, and it seems so far off, and we even wonder if it's a reality at all, might make us in our moments of doubt think these things. Well, I suppose if we talk about this lightly, flippantly, without regard for the deep grief that sin and death and evil bring into our lives, then maybe it is pie in the sky. Or maybe if we believe that the only thing that really exists is physical matter and material things, like is the dominant philosophical outlook of our time, then physical death is just a normal, natural course of things that we just got to get used to and face up with. And yeah, then if that's what we think, then this is just pie in the sky. Or maybe if we use the second coming of Christ as an excuse not to be concerned at all about this life, about making it better, about our vocations, about being responsible, about how we live, yeah, then maybe it's pie in the sky and a false hope because we use it falsely. Actually, the Thessalonians were having some difficulty along that line, which is one of the reasons why Paul wrote those letters to them. But dear friends, if we, however, believe that there is more to our existence than this life, if we are longing in our hearts for God to have the last word, and that God wants to redeem us completely, if we want an answer from God for sin, for death, for evil, in all seriousness, then this is not pie in the sky. When life confronts us with the ultimate reality, that the ultimate salvation we cannot win for ourselves, then this is not a false hope. But Christ is absolutely serious in making the promise, and he will fulfill it. Must we wait? Yeah, this is hard. We got to wait for this. But does the fact that we have to wait mean it's not going to happen? No. There are many things for which we wait that we think are a long way off, and then lo and behold, the day comes. So it will be for this day, the day Christ returns and delivers to us, delivers to you, the completion of his redemption of you, and delivers to you the new creation. What a wonderful day that's going to be. Friends, the parousia is a promise that Christ redeems us completely and that he will show his victory and give to us the fulfillment of his promises. You too will live in this new creation as he has promised. Therefore, be comforted today. and rejoice in it and be comforted in your faith in the parousia. Amen.